At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
It's one of those moments that makes you sit back and wonder if the world's gone sideways. Inside a locked down Arkansas courtroom, no public, no cameras, no journalists in the room, the man accused of one of the most senseless, brutal crimes this state has seen in years stands before the judge, Andrew James McGann. The name's already infamous in Northwest Arkansas, Fayetteville, and beyond. He's the man Arkansas State Police say ambushed Clinton and Kristen Brink in Devil's Den State Park in late July, stabbing them to death while their two young daughters fled for their lives. The man, they say, confessed in detail after a 4-day manhunt. The man with the DNA match. The man on surveillance fleeing the scene. And yet, when the charges are read, 2 counts of capital murder, McGann says 2 words that don't line up with the story we've been told. Not guilty. Now, if you've been around high-profile criminal cases long enough, you know the playbook in a capital case, especially one where the prosecutor is already signaling they're going to be pursuing the death penalty. A not guilty plea is as standard as the judge's gavel. But in a case where police say they've got a confession, where the physical evidence is already being called overwhelming, it's a moment that kind of stops you. So why do it? Why take the legal path that looks to the public like the mother of all contradictions? That's exactly what we're digging into today. Joining me is retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreek, a man who's spent a career reading between the lines of behavior, dissecting motives, and frankly, spotting the patterns the rest of us miss. We're not just talking about the legal maneuvering here. We're going to look at McGann's background as a former teacher, the disturbing but often dismissed allegations in his work history, and the possibility that this wasn't a calculated crime at all, but the product of a sudden catastrophic break in his mental stability. We'll also look at the human contradictions, the stories from people who knew him, like this hairstylist who never once felt threatened in his presence, even when she was alone with him in a locked shop. How do you reconcile that man with the one accused of what happened on the trail? Let's start with the obvious, with Robin. Even in a case where the evidence looks like a slam dunk, how common is it for the defendant to plead not guilty? And how much of that is just about keeping the death penalty off the table? Let's get into it.
Yeah, of course. Of course, you plead not guilty because doesn't matter what someone says you said, and if they didn't do it right with all the legalese behind it, without Miranda, didn't collect evidence right, there's going to be a lot of things that a defense attorney is going to want to contest to try to save a life, reduce sentences, and things like that, because it's his right as a citizen of our country, or even just a U.S. person or someone As abhorrent as this moron is, yes, you can still do things like this.
It's a capital case. They are going to be seeking the death penalty here.
Yep.
I'm going to guess that might be why he pled not guilty, because he's going to use it as a bargaining chip.
Just like Koberger.
Yeah, to not get executed. Do you think this goes anywhere, or is this really kind of just, now we're going to play the legal song and dance for a couple months or years or however long it takes to get to his plea deal? Or do you think he's going to try and go all the way with this, try and take this to a court? I mean, it's pretty insane if he were. He's on camera fleeing the park. His car is, I mean, it's there. There's not a doubt that this guy did it. I don't know how you're going to take this to a court and try and argue your point. But, you know, stranger things have been done.
Who knows? I mean, I say who knows because you can't go on what we think he would do because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And another broken-brained individual. So it really comes down to who's been assigned to him as defense. Because if the attorney's really good, you're going to see some magic. Mm-hmm. It's going to blow our minds at what, mm-hmm. how that. But if they have someone who's actually on a side of on a side of justice being done, it might go a little faster. So mm-hmm. I think the first thing they're going to really focus on, from at least from my optic and perspective, is how was that confession obtained? Was it a legal confession? Did all the checks and balances and all the tick blocks happen? In other words, mm-hmm. Was he given Miranda? Did he confess verbally? And then the most important thing, did he write down that confession in his own words and sign it after Miranda was given? Because that's generally what they're going to go for. That's the gold ticket right there. Mm-hmm. Is his confession in his handwriting, non-compelled, in his own words, with no promises of anything, and after Miranda's been given. If they got that and DNA, I don't know. Why would the prosecutor even give a plea deal? I mean, no, we're going to shuffle you off this planet.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the thing. I mean, but it costs money. You know, that's a big court cost if you're going to do this thing, because it would be huge. High profile. It would be covered. There'd be a lot of attention to this. So, I mean, it's in the interest of the state to just get this plea deal and get this guy, you know, behind bars rather than all of that. As lovely as it would be just to put him down like a, you know, injured animal, because basically what he is. An interesting thing about this guy is he seems to have more of a personality than Koberger. It not just quite an empty shell. Obviously, he was a teacher. He interacted with kids. Parents had various opinions of him. Teachers that he worked with had various opinions of him. Some good. A lot of them, he's off and odd and kind of creepy. But some, you know, he was just another guy. The women I talked to who had done his hair, his normal stylist, I guess you could say, back in Oklahoma, who we saw several times. When I talked to her, she talked about him commenting on a picture that she had on her stand there of her daughter playing a sport. And he really got excited about that because it was a sport that was not as common as others would play for a female. And he just was commenting how awesome that is, that she's into those sort of things. It wasn't necessarily... She didn't take it as creepy, but, you know, just looking back now and knowing what she knows, he's commenting on her daughter. That makes it weird. But at the moment, it wasn't in that sort of a, oh, she's cute type sense. It's just great. She's playing that sport. She said that there was really never anything that stood out to her. Not that she's sitting there trying to evaluate who's going to be a murderer. But at the same point, they see a lot of folks. And you know, I ask, you know, I'm sure you've had folks that stand out to you as like off. Was that what you ever felt about him? It's like, no, you know, a little different, but not in any sort of threatening, scary way. In fact, she did his hair. He came in she doesn't have a salon that's a walk-in. It's by appointment only, but he did a walk-in one night as they were closing. Like, can you do this for me? And she did. And by herself in the shop, just the two of them, didn't feel threatened. So he didn't necessarily put off that character. I guess that's the weird thing about the guy like this. And that's what still just makes zero to no sense about any of this is, how do you go from that to this? Running into a park, stabbing two people, running away, getting away for several days. And then just start planning your school year like he's getting ready to go back to class. And look, he was getting his classroom ready, okay? He was. He never had contact with the students. That's what the school district is saying. He was in the building. It was the week before school started. Teachers are in there getting their classrooms ready. I know they don't want to say that that's what he was doing. It's what he was doing. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that factually. So he was, I mean, he's right there. He was about to start work Monday, the day that he was actually arraigned then. Or not arraigned, but they had the hearing. So I don't know. This is a weird brain to me. I try to get and try to put myself behind the brain and the prism and go, what's broken about this one? This one gets me. But what have you been getting as you're running your mind through this?
Yeah, I'm getting what you're getting, Tony. And I've seen it with fewer individuals that we've covered and that I've seen. And that is, and that's, this is where I'd really lean heavily on some of my friends that are criminal psychiatrists and psychologists, mm-hmm. because this looks to me, based on things I've heard them say about similar cases, it looks like a psychotic break potentially.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Because, you know, and I've seen this, let me do my nose switch here. You know, I've seen this with individuals that are on that edge. And I mean, I interact with people on social media a lot of times, and I know a few that have followed me and probably followed us both for a number of years now that are normal-ish, mm-hmm. A little too needy, a little too dependent, a little too off, but still safe. And all of a sudden, I hear reports that they're off their meds, and all of a sudden, we hear some wacky shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a psychotic break, and you see them and hear them really ramble some crazy stuff. I mean, this happened to someone that was following me for a number of years that all of a sudden saying very threatening things. I actually was able to do a deep search and find his brother online and report, hey, I think mm-hmm. your brother is going off the rails, man. I have no idea what's going on, but you need to call 911 now.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, we're on it. He's actually been diagnosed with bipolar and he's off his meds because he doesn't think he needs them. There's one other case I covered about a year ago too, where it was something similar, where someone's got an off personality, not completely off, you know, because it's manageable. It's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. He had things that were manageable, maybe-ish, because I don't know the full extent of the whole after children girl thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trial will bring out more in that if there's more there, or if it was just creepy, or is there more to creepy? In other words, was he an actual pedophile or mm-hmm. trading in child pornography or something like that? But where someone actually goes through something where there's some sort of psychotic break that is induced by something. So mm-hmm. they're going to be looking at the day or days leading up to this, because all of a sudden he goes back to normal again, it looks like, after the event. So like, what caused that?
It's quite a deviation, unless he's been doing this and we're not aware. That's been the bigger question that a lot of people are asking. And look, people get killed on hiking trails, I guess, more frequently than I was aware of. They do, it turns out. And there was some other ones where people were stabbed on hiking trails in similar ways. And they're now looking back at that going, was this him? And mm-hmm. I would say, from what I've seen thus far, is it possible? Yes. Is it probable? No. What we just unpacked is the opening chess move in what's shaping up to be a long story. Deliberate and deeply unsettling legal game. McGann and his not guilty plea isn't a declaration of innocence, it's leverage. As Robin pointed out, in a capital case, it's about keeping every bargaining chip in play, whether that's angling for a plea that trades death for life without parole or challenging the admissibility of that alleged confession. And that, by the way, may become the pivot point here. Was a confession legally airtight, or is the defense already sharpening its knives to carve it out of the record? But underneath the legal mechanics, there is other layers, and this is a layer that's harder to pin down and far more disturbing. The seeming split between the McGann people thought they knew, and the man described in the arrest affidavit, a teacher, a colleague, a guy who could walk into his salon at closing time and sit in a chair without raising so much as a red flag, versus a suspect accused of running into a state park and ending two lives in front of children. The first half of the conversation raises more questions than it answers. And maybe that's the point. Because if there's even a shred of truth to the psychotic break theory that Robin mentioned, we're not just talking about one crime. We're talking about a mental state that could have been building for years, hidden behind the facade of a functioning life. And that means investigators will be combing through every digital footprint, every personal connection, every unexplained absence, looking for signs that this wasn't the first escalation, just the first one that broke into public view. We also can't ignore the uncomfortable what if hanging over this. What if some of those old workplace red flags had been taken more seriously? Would the Brinks still be alive? Or was this so sudden, so unprecedented, that no amount of hindsight could have stopped it? Either way, the next move belongs to the defense. And how they play it will tell us whether this case sprints towards a plea deal or drugs through a full high-profile trial. In the second half of our talk that's coming up, that's where you want to press subscribe so you don't miss it, we're going to shift focus with Robin from McGann himself to the system around him, because there's another fight brewing here, one over transparency, public trust, and whether keeping a case this tightly sealed protects justice or just feeds speculation. Tell me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If you're not already there, you can make that same search wherever you download podcasts to take us with you wherever you go. And hit subscribe so you don't miss it. Any of our conversations on this case and the many we're covering for you right here. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up. Brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.